gentlemen, we are about ready to get started, and it is a great joy to have all of you here on this muggy day, and congratulations on managing to get here with the crane and Church Street and craziness in the parking lot and everything else. So well done on getting here. I want to start, just as always, by thanking Connie and Ben and Mark and all those who have set up this meal to make it possible for us. Thank you so much. And we are here for our November edition of the monthly men's lunch. We will be back again in December, and then January, we are not going to be on the first Wednesday, so just watch for that. So we will get back to you for sure on the date for that one. Today, we are very fortunate to have with us Lon Burris. Lon is a longtime St. Philippian, a native of Charleston, went to Port O'Dowd, was a classmate of a couple of folks who are here, went to the Citadel, went to Furman, graduated from Furman in economics, went to work for the Olin Corporation for a bit, and then joined Burris Chemical, which, if you're from Charleston, was a fixture of the Charleston world for a long time, and became eventually CEO of that company that his family founded. And then once that company was sold, Lon joined Wells Fargo as a financial advisor, where he's had a very successful career. He's been very involved here at St. Philip's with Bible studies, as a chalice bearer, as a lay reader on the vestry, just everything that you could imagine. He is married to Anne, and they have a beautiful family where we have several generations of Burrises at St. Philip's now, which is a beautiful thing to see. So please join me in welcoming Lon Burris.
Anybody know that song? 1960, it was written by Henry Mancini for Mr. Lucky television show. And that was done by Buddy Rich and his big band. So Johnny Carson always had his big band to warm up a crowd. So I thought I'd have Buddy Rich warm you guys up and pump some energy into the room. By the way, Johnny Carson's big band, Ed Shaughnessy was his drummer, one of the most famous drummers that ever lived. Look him up on YouTube, Ed Shaughnessy. All right, today the subject is life is fragile. Anybody agree with that? Life is fragile? But before I go there, I want to thank, what happened to Brian? Brian and Jeff. Guys, I've been down there for hours and hours and hours listening to you guys, so it's my chance to return the favor, and I promise you I will do it with as much love as I can put forth and with a little sense of humor as well. Brian asked me to speak because I'm a regular guy. I don't have any letters behind my name. I haven't really done anything in my life. My friend Frank Ford has won six Azalea championships, the state AM in golf, the Carolinas AM golf. Brad Waring, my friend here, has been given the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Chief Justice. So I don't have any of that. I'm just a regular guy that Brian wanted to bring up here. But I'm not a regular guy. Why? Because sitting here is my son, Will, my brother, Bruce. I've had my wife for 48 years, four beautiful children, five beautiful grandchildren, my friends, Randall and Brad, that have been my friends for 60 years. So I don't need any letters behind my name. This is what's important. These people, I'd get you to stand up, but I guess you don't want to be embarrassed that way. So as I tell young people, be yourself, because there's nobody else like you. So I'm going to be myself, and this is part of me, my friends, my family, and my rectors, Brian and Jeff, that are leading me to glorify God. Like I said, what else could you want if you've got all this? I've got that. I don't need a state championship in golf. Although I'd like to have it, and don't get me wrong, these people that accomplish things, good for them, but I'm happy where I am. I will say in my life, I've had two, I guess you call it, movie idols. Going back to 1963, I was 11 years old, and the first James Bond movie came out. Remember the first one? Dr. No. The greatest movie line for me ever. So James Bond's in the casino, and this beautiful woman's across the card table, and they're playing Baccarat, and he's winning every hand. And finally, he says, I admire your courage. And she's just losing money hand over fist. And he says, I admire your courage, ma'am, and your name. And she says, Sylvia Trench. And she replies back to James Bond, and your name, sir? And he lights a cigarette, and he goes, Bond, James Bond. And I knew at 11 years old, that guy, he was effervescent with confidence. I knew I wanted to be somebody like James Bond. Rest of the story, they leave the Baccarat table, and they're walking together over to the cashier. And James says to her, Miss Trench, are there any other games you play other than cards? Good question. You know what she said? Yes, Mr. Bond, I play golf. So you're going to hear a lot about golf in my presentation today, because I love the game of golf. My other idol growing up was Jimmy Stewart. Remember Jimmy Stewart from the Hitchcock movies? And what else was he in? He was in Wonderful Life. Harvey, remember Harvey about the imaginary rabbit? Well, Jimmy Stewart had a favorite joke, supposedly. So it was Harry and Margaret retired, having breakfast one morning, beautiful day. And Margaret says to Harry, Harry, if I were to die, would you get remarried? And Harry says, Margaret, what kind of question is that? I'm not even going to answer. That's a ridiculous question. So she persists for 3 days. Finally, he said, yeah, I guess I would get married if you died. And Margaret said, well, Harry, would you sell the house? And Harry said, of course not, I wouldn't sell. This is our house. We've been in our entire life. And then she said, Harry, would you sell the bed? And he said, of course not, I wouldn't sell the bed. And finally she said, well, Harry, you wouldn't let her touch my golf clubs, would you? And Jimmy Stewart said, well, you know, Margaret, it's like this. That would never happen because she's left-handed. All right. Life is fragile. So if life is fragile, what's the rest of the story? Life is fragile, so what? I'll tease you. I'll give you the answer a little later on. But life is fragile. And I know that firsthand. I can witness that. I can give you testimony. On August 3rd, 2008, we got a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning. And this lady on the other end of the line says, I'm the coroner, and I want to come talk to you. I'm outside your house. Well, I mean, you're groggy at 4 o'clock in the morning. So she comes in with two clothed or uniformed police officers to tell us our son, 25-year-old son Ben, Will's brother, older brother, had died in a single car accident. So life is fragile. That shouldn't happen to anybody, but that's part of life. I just got back from Italy. Some of you all have seen, we've seen it in pictures, if you've not seen it in person, the Pietà by Michelangelo, where Christ is laying in Mary's arms, right? I wasn't dead, but I felt like that. Not statue, but the Pietà. That's how I felt, completely drained. You can well imagine, right? But I think it was this Bible, pretty sure. And my friends Brad Waring and Frank Ford literally carried me for 2 days, literally. And I walked around my house, had this Bible in my hand. And I befriended, through the game of golf, he was a retired bishop at that time, David Thompson. And I called Bishop T. He was down in Florida visiting his brother, who was a Catholic priest. I had the Bible in my hand, and Bishop T, I'm in a bad way. And he convinced me that, right, you're drained of everything. He said, it'll come back. Just trust the Lord and it'll come back. And he was right. And what a wonderful guy he was. Just a side story. When he died in 2013, I went to his funeral mass at the cathedral on Broad Street. There were 78 priests on the altar, 4 bishops and an archbishop. And there was incense everywhere. In the Catholic religion, the bishops lie in state, so he was lying in state. And it was an experience. I never wanted it to end. The choir director and his wife sang Ave Maria a cappella. It was unbelievable. And it just so happens that the processional hymn for his funeral mass was a Protestant hymn, "The Church is One Foundation." So guess what? When I die in that building, the processional hymn's going to be "Church is One Foundation." The archbishop, there were 2 homilies that day. The archbishop was funny. He was telling the story about Bishop T's, as we call him, birthday. He called the secretary, said, "Did you send Bishop T a birthday present?" And the secretary, I said, "Yes, sir, I sent him a dozen Titleist golf balls." And the archbishop said, "What? Why didn't you go to Costco and buy the low brand? He's just going to knock all those Titleist balls into the lake." And so he was funny, the archbishop. It was a wonderful experience. All right, so life is fragile. Anybody want to guess the rest of the answer? Fill in the blank. Life is fragile, so what? Close. Be a servant. I told this to somebody yesterday. I said, "That doesn't make sense. I don't follow the logic." Well, if life is fragile, right? I just described to you how fragile it can be. Well, darn. If it's that fragile, you better be a servant. Right? Why not? Serve God, serve your wife, your children, your friends. I'll show you something in a minute about how I put that together. Yeah, life is fragile, be a servant. Martin Luther King, this is great. "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love." Right? Be a servant. So, and this is an old slide. I think I did it right after Ben died. And my friend Shep Davis helped me, I think it was Shep, about focusing on what are you passionate about in your life? So I said, all right, I'm going to put it on a piece of paper. This is an old slide. It's so old, I lost the file, so I had to take a hard copy and scan it and redo it. But anyway, so you can see in my slide, faith in God, right? Serve God, loving my wife, right? I use the word serve, and this is 15 years ago when I did the slide. My children, to serve my children, good health, work, personal finances, and my friends too. Loving and serving my friends. And one thing I want to leave with you about your friends, don't ever take them for granted. Let them know how important they are to you. And I think I say that somewhere in there, right? So to serve, figure out where your passions are. This is just me. Yours could be any a number of things. But the concept of life is fragile, be a servant. Now, did anybody see the movie The Secret Life of Walter Mitty? Anybody? No? Ben Stiller was in it with Sean Penn. I was watching the movie, and Ben Stiller is he works for a magazine that's going out of business, and he works in the photography department. And the new owners of the magazine are looking for a last cover photo, and Sean Penn is a world-renowned photographer, so Ben Stiller is chasing Sean Penn around the globe to try to find this picture that they're going to put on the final cover of the magazine. Well, he finally finds him in the Himalayas, and Sean Penn is photographing this snow leopard. And he gets the snow leopard right in the crosshairs of his camera. And you can see the snow leopard. It's a beautiful animal. And he doesn't take the shot. And Ben Stiller says, why didn't you take the shot? You had the opportunity to shoot a picture of this rare animal. And he said, because beautiful things don't need attention. Now, when I say beautiful, I don't mean physically, spiritually. So if you're spiritually beautiful, you don't need attention, right? How many of your friends, if you're playing golf or whatever, they just talk about themselves, right? People, it's human nature to talk about themselves. You got me up here today to talk about myself. But beautiful things don't need attention, right? And it's the truth. You don't, how many times in the course of a day where you'd have an opportunity to put the spotlight on yourself and you consciously say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't need that attention. Where is Bob Coons here? Yeah, Bob wanted me to email me yesterday and he said, I want to send an email out and, you know, promote your speaking. I said, no, I'm not going to do that, Bob. I don't want to draw attention to myself, especially because I'm talking about humility today. So there are times in your life where you don't have to put the focus on yourself, right? So beauty never needs attention. So I just, from this slide, I thought about some other things. Be spiritual. Be passionate. Thank you, Shep. Pay attention. You go back to spiritual. Relational rather than transactional. Again, I credit Shep for that one too. Be relational. How many transactional relationships do you have in your life? Well, I'm 72 years old, and I don't really need any more transactional relationships. I need my friends here, my family. That's what I mean about relational. My clients, they're all personal. We have a personal relationship with clients. So be spiritual, passionate, pay attention, be humbled, be a servant. And Jeff, you can't see this, but glorify God in all that you do. Right? Glorify God. I think Jeff would tell you that that's our purpose on earth, is to glorify God. But I would qualify that a little bit in that our purpose on life, and our purpose in life, is to have a relationship with God. I guess you can't really glorify God until you have a relationship first. So, life is fragile. Be a servant. Does it make the connection now? What my friend said yesterday, I couldn't follow it. It doesn't relate. Does it relate now? If life is fragile for any of us, it could be tomorrow. You're gone. So why not be a servant? After Ben died, I wanted to do a bumper sticker that said, life is fragile, be a servant. I might still do that. Really makes sense. All right. Well, Brian, it went faster than I thought. So I have one more video to show you. It has nothing to do with my testimony. Just got back from Italy, and we went to the Ferrari factory in Maranello, Italy. And the factory's huge. Some of you may have been there. It's a huge factory. It's a museum. And then in the museum, there are 9 simulators. And I got to drive a Ferrari simulator. So you don't drive it. You're the pilot when you get in there. And you drop down into the cockpit, and they said, what track do you want? So you could be any Formula One track, you know, on the globe. I picked Monza, which is probably the most famous Formula One track in Italy. So I'll show you, Mark, if I can figure this out. Tell you too, the software they figured out, I'm going 170 miles an hour and you feel it. You feel the road. You go into a turn and you'll see right off the start, you go in the turn one and I'm testing the brake. These brakes on these cars, I went from 100 miles an hour to 50 miles an hour in just one push of the brake. And it's pretty authentic how they... Anyway, this software is incredible, the feel of the track. And I'm going to take you, I did 2 laps on the track. I'm going to take you through 1 lap. Say no. When you drive the chicane, you're supposed to hit the bumps because that's the line through the turn. It looks like you're getting off track, but that's the way you drive those turns. Did I go back to the beginning? Okay. No, they ask you if you want to shift gears or you want automatic. Well, all right, I got it. I just need volume. Oh, I did.
What do you want to be?
Oh, the
car?
Yeah.
There you go.
I screwed it up anyway. Don't worry about it. You can. That was one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I've been a Formula One fan for 40 years. And to drive a Ferrari in Maranello, Italy, it was just fantastic. I did get the car up to 170 miles an hour, and I averaged a little over 100 miles an hour for two laps. So I did one lap of 6.2 miles, so I did 14.4 miles in 7 minutes. So I figure that, you mathematicians, I think I averaged over 100. So the record for Monza for the average one lap is 165 miles an hour. So I did 100, so not bad for the first time I've ever seen the car on the track. Brian, I'm done, so I'm going to end in a prayer. Unless anything else you want to?
Go right ahead, and I'll say something and have a blessing.
Okay. This is colic number 95. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I hold up all my weakness to thy strength, my failure to thy faithfulness, my sinfulness to thy perfection, my loneliness to thy compassion, my little pains to thy great agony on the cross. I pray that thou wouldst cleanse me, strengthen me, guide me, so that in all ways my life may be lived as thou would have it lived, without cowardice and for thee alone. Show me how to live in true humility, true contrition, and true love. Amen.
Lon, thank you so much for sharing from your heart with us about that. One of the things that I really appreciate about Lon and seeing him so faithfully at St. Philip's is that he is somebody that there is actually congruity between what he preaches and what he practices. And that whole part about being a servant, about being an encourager, is something that you see in Lon all the time. And as I was watching that race car video, it actually, to me, ties in beautifully with your story, because I think often when we are on that proverbial road of life, when things that are difficult happen or tragedies happen because life is fragile, it is all too easy to just pull the car off the road and stay parked and to not re-engage. And one of the things that has been wonderful to see in Lon's life is that he has not only not put the car in park, but he has continued to grow deeper in his faith and his love for his family and his friends and his service to the Lord and to the church. So that is a beautiful thing. And so that tied in maybe better than you thought it would. So let's thank Lon again for sharing with us today. And let me close this with a word of prayer and a blessing. Father, we thank you so much for this time together today. Lord, as we reflect on the fact that you have made us to glorify you, that you have made us in your image, and that you have given us this precious gift of life, that is fragile, and Lord, where you do call us to be servants, we pray that you would open our hearts more and more to understand what it means to follow Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love you and to love our neighbors. Lord, we pray that you would bless Lon and bless his family. We pray that you would bless our reflections on these words. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. We'll see you next month.